all set, I think, here. If you have a Bible, open it up to John 7. We're studying through the book of John on Wednesday nights. We go at a regular but slow pace. We're in John 7. And so on Sunday, we take a look at a couple verses out of whatever we'll be studying through on Wednesday. Wednesday is through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Sunday is topical, something that either I like and I hope you like, or that has been laid on my heart, I believe, by the Lord. So it's a topical study. So we're in John 7. If you forgot your Bible, we've got some Bibles we can get you. So raise your hand up and the doorkeepers will run a Bible to you. You can keep it if you want, take it home, or return it afterwards. If you have forgotten your Bible and you know that as you walk in, you can just grab them. There's a box back there by the sound equipment. You can pick it up. That way you don't have to raise your hand. You have it already. There's one right up here. When you have it, John chapter 7, starting in verse 25. John 7:25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man, whence he is. But when Christ comes, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am. I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But, verse 29, I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Once again, verse 29, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Father, we ask once again this morning, in recognition that we are to be a people that acknowledge you in all of our ways. Lift up prayer to you continually, seeking direction from you daily. And we do that this morning. Lord, we acknowledge you, that you're here, that you're with us, and we ask that you would direct us, direct our paths, the paths that we're to take as a family, Edgewater Christian Fellowship, the paths that we're to take as husbands, the paths that we are to take as wives, the paths we are to take at the job that you have us at, the path, Lord, that we are to take. Direct us, Lord. Use your word. Use your spirit. Use this body to bring direction to us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. About this time last year, I was in Zambia, Africa. Applegate Christian Fellowship, the church where I was an assistant pastor, was looking to start an orphanage over there in Zambia. The reason? The AIDS epidemic has decimated adult populations in many countries in Africa. And because of that, there's lots of kids that don't have parents. In fact, the city, Kitwe, not a very big city that we went to, maybe it's a city of 400,000 or so, 10% of the population are homeless kids, 60,000 or so, running around the streets. You see them everywhere you go, begging for money, looking for food, trying to find a place to stay. And so it was on the heart of Applegate Christian Fellowship to try to see if we could get an orphanage over there and begin to tend to these kids, help them. And we went over there and we visited a orphanage that already existed. It's called For Hearts and Souls, started by a doctor, Dr. Kirk Milhorn, great ministry. And I was so blessed to visit that orphanage where they are taking care of kids that have either lost their parents due to AIDS or they are HIV positive themselves. And when a kid in Africa is HIV positive, a baby, when they're HIV positive, they're pretty much abandoned. Why? Well, the families there, the extended families, they have limited resources. And to just pour food into a kid that they know is going to die, they just don't do it. They abandon them. It's sad. One of the girls, Barbara, was rescued from a dumpster. Wonderful, beautiful little girl. And so this orphanage for hearts and souls really takes these kids in and loves them incredibly. They do, as Jesus would say, minister to the least of these. That's what they're doing. And those kids, they were the happiest kids I saw when I was in Kitwe. Smiles and joy and laughing, and I had a blast when I was there. But we were looking for a way to duplicate what Hearts and Souls is doing in another area. So part of our job, myself and four others, was to kind of search around and see if there was some other property that we could purchase and begin to build another orphanage, a little bigger one, take care of maybe 50 or 100 kids. And so we got in this Toyota van, and we began to drive around. And this first village we drove to, on the outskirts of Kitwe, small village, not very many people, we show up there and five white people piling out of a van in a little village in Africa is bound to get some attention. And you can see the kids peering around trees and climbing over fences and popping out of holes, and they're just kind of getting all around us and looking at us but not getting too close. And I'm watching this, and we're talking with this couple that we had gone to visit. And I'm watching them, and they're kind of congregating together. And so I went over to them, and I looked at them, and I said, hello. Well, they didn't speak English, and I don't speak Bimba. That's the national language of Zambia. I thought they'd all be blonde with that kind of a language, Bimba. They're not. And so they're standing there, and I said, hello, and they just looked at me and smiled. You know, it's the classic language standoff. They smile, and you smile. And they smile, and you smile. And they smile, and you smile, and you just stand there nodding your head, smiling. Well, they can do it forever. But as Americans, after like 10 seconds, we're bored of that. And so there's this little guy in front, and he was about 3 years old, and all he had on was his half T-shirt. You know, that's it. And so I got down on his level, and I showed him how to do a high five. It's universal. And so after I showed him how to do this high five, it kind of broke the ice. And these kids started, you know, climbing around and talking. I don't know what they're saying, but they're just talking, and we're taking pictures of them. And it was kind of fun. And we did that for about 15, 20 minutes or so. And then we had to leave. And so I got in the Toyota van, and everyone else climbed in the Toyota van. And I'm there with my arm out the window, and this crowd of kids is right outside my window. And they're there, they're chanting something, just over and over yelling. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, what an effect just a little one-on-one has had on these kids. Wow, they're just excited. I wonder what they're saying. I thought they're saying something like, you know, come back soon and visit us, or we love you, or, you know, man, we're going to miss you. And so I wanted to impress the other four people in the car, the Americans. So I looked up at the driver. I said, what's the deal with these guys? What's the deal with these kids out here? And the driver turned around and looked at me, and he said, they're yelling at you. Well, you know, people do kind of like me. And so I said, well, what are they saying? And he looked at me and he's saying, they're chanting over and over for you to give them your watch. We love you. No, give us your watch. Give us your watch. Give us your watch. That's the big effect I had on them. They liked my Timex. Sometimes we can think we know people. We think we spent a little time with these guys. We spent some precious moments with them, and now we understand them. They love us. Well, in actuality, you can be gravely mistaken. You can think you know somebody. You can think you understand them. You can think you know where they're from, know who they are. But quite often, you know what? We read people wrongly. That's what happened in our story. That's what happened in our text right here. These people, verse 27, they said, we know this man. We know Jesus, they were saying. Not only do we know him, we know where he's from. But they were gravely mistaken. And Jesus hears this. Hears them saying, hey, we know you, Jesus. We know where you're from. We know all about you. You're from Nazareth, the son of Joseph and Mary. We know you. And Jesus cries out. He doesn't normally cry out, but it's a very strong Greek term. He literally yells at him. Hey, he says, you, and you got to hear the sarcasm behind it. You think you know me is a better translation. You think you know me. You think you know where I'm from, but you don't. And then he goes on to, in verse 29, tell them, this is what you need to know about me. First he corrects them, you don't know me. And then he communicates to them three things. This is what you should know about me and my relationship to my Father. And what I find very interesting about this is first the correction. And then secondly, in verse 29, the three things Jesus says about himself and his relationship to the Father. And I believe it's these same three things that can be revolutionary to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's these same three things that Jesus says, this is what you need to know about me. This is what you need to understand about me. You have misunderstandings. You don't know me like you think you do. And they thought they knew Jesus. In fact, in chapter 5 and chapter 6, they constantly come to Jesus and say, you're from Galilee. But the Bible tells us that Jesus, the Messiah, rather, is supposed to come from where? Bethlehem. You can't be Messiah. And we know you, Jesus. We know that you're from Joseph and Mary. They thought they knew him. Jesus corrects them, and then he gives three things. This is what you should know about me. And that's what I want to take a look at this morning. First, the correction, verse 28. Jesus comes to these guys, and he says, you think you know me, and you think you know where I'm from, but I am not come of myself, and he that sent me is true, whom you know not. You think you know me. You think you know who I am, but you don't. You don't know me at all. They had, I would say, in this correction, they had partial knowledge, incomplete understanding. And it's been said, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. They had a little knowledge. They knew Jesus was from Nazareth, but what they did not know is he was born in Bethlehem. They had a little knowledge. They knew he was the son of Mary, but he was not the son of Joseph. They had incomplete, or they had partial knowledge, and because they had incomplete partial knowledge, it led them to bad conclusions about Jesus. He can't be the Messiah. And so Jesus corrects them. A little knowledge can be very, very dangerous. Let me give you an example. The Bible tells us that men, we are to, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. That's what the Bible says. Guys, you, myself, we are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. What does that mean? It means we should know our wives. We should know what they like. We should know what they dislike. We should know what makes them happy, and we should know what irritates them. We are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. And most of us guys, we have this knowledge. We know this. Girls like presents. They just do. They like gifts. If you don't know that, then I just let you in on the greatest marriage secret since the automatic dishwasher. Learn it. Girls like gifts. Now, we understand that. We have that knowledge right there. But the problem is, most of us guys, we suffer from PGS syndrome. What's PGS syndrome? It's poor gift selection syndrome. We know they like gifts, but our knowledge falls apart when we actually buy them a gift. It happens. It's true. See, we get to thinking, man, what should I buy my wife for her birthday? What should I buy her for Valentine's Day? It's coming up. You got a couple days. What am I to buy her? We wonder. And the problem is, guys, we think about things in guy terms. If I was my wife, what would I want? That's how we put it in our own mind. And we get to thinking, well, you know, what would I want? And we brainstorm and we contemplate and finally, oh, that's it. If I was her, this is exactly what I'd want. And we sacrifice our lunch money. And we save up. We don't eat out. And we put money away and we go online. We make ticket reservations. We do everything. And then Valentine's Day rolls around. And we say, honey, man, I got you the best gift. It's exactly what I would want if I was you. And then we give it to her. Here you go. I sacrificed money. I saved. I made reservations. Here it is, honey. Two tickets to Portland for this year's World Wrestling Federation SmackDown. It's exactly what I want. And it's dangerous because we end up getting smacked down. We have partial knowledge. I know my wife wants something, but it's in gift selection that we fall apart. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. People think, I took apart my lawnmower. That must make me a mechanic. I'm going to go try taking apart my mom's car. People think, hey, I put some flat pack furniture together from Walmart. That makes me a carpenter. I'm going to build a house. I fixed my kid's electric toy. That makes me an electrician. Honey, I'm rewiring the house. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And it is. That's why Jesus corrects these guys. You guys are incorrect. And if you look at most of the diversions from Christianity, look at most of the places where things have gone awry, there's been cults arising. It's because of a little knowledge. Impartial or partial knowledge or incomplete knowledge. Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, they have incomplete knowledge when it comes to the Trinity. Mormons, they have incomplete knowledge when it comes to, well, divinity. They think we're all divine. They think we're all going to be God. Or Universalists, they have incomplete knowledge when it comes to eternity, where people are going to spend eternity. Incomplete knowledge is dangerous. Jesus here says, I'm not going to let you guys do that. I'm not going to let you guys have incomplete knowledge about me, but rather, I want you to have complete knowledge. And here is the three things I want you to know about me, verse 29. Here they are. But I know him, number one. I know him. Number two, I'm from him. And number three, I've been sent by him. And I believe this. I believe those three things are a trinity of stability for you and I in this Christian walk. If we get those three things down, it will provide for us great stability in our walk because we are little Christs, Christians. And we are to have the same relationship with the Father as Jesus had. And Jesus says, you guys don't know me. Here's what you should know about me. I, number one, know him. I, number two, am from him. And number three, I've been sent by him. So we're going to take a look at these three. First, know him. Know him. Jesus says, you guys don't know him. I do know him. Notice, Jesus does not say, I know about him. It's, I know him. Not I know about him. Matt, that's just semantics. There's no difference in what you're saying. There is a big difference. Let me illustrate. I can know about famous actors. Take, for instance, Brad Pitt. I can know about him. I can know he was born December 18th, 1963. In Shawnee, Oklahoma. I can know his favorite food is pizza. I can know his favorite drink is Mountain Dew. I can know his favorite breakfast cereal is Frosted Flakes. Show me you're a tiger, Brad. I can know all that. But unless I'm a stalker, and some of you are thinking that right now, I wouldn't claim to know him. I know about him. I know some facts about Brad Pitt, but I don't know him. I know some facts from a 2-minute Google search I did on him yesterday morning, but I don't know him. I would never claim to know him. And Jesus says here, I know him. I know the Father. Not I know about the Father, I know him. These guys, these ones that are from Jerusalem, verse 25 tells us, these guys would know all about the Father. They would, absolutely. They would memorize huge chunks of the Bible. Some of them, if they were Pharisees, would memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Man, they would know about the Father. They were having this conversation on the Temple Mount. They were in church, if you would. They were at the temple, memorizing scripture, at church, in church. And yet Jesus says to them, you don't know the Father. You don't know him. Stinging rebuke for these guys who would spend their time trying to know the Lord. Lord, we're trying to know you. But Jesus says, you don't know him, and I do know him. What's the deal? Why didn't they know him? They studied the scriptures. They were in church. Why didn't they know the Father then? Why did they just know about him? Let me suggest to you that there are 2 important aspects to the Bible. 2 very important sides to it. One of them is information. The Bible is packed full of information. It tells us about God, the characteristics of him. Tells us about the world, the condition of it. Tells us about our Savior and the cross. There's lots of information in this book, but it's more than just information. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it should be a relation. The other aspect of it should be devotional. Not just informational, but also devotional. They're both important. We need, number one, information, because many of us have an incorrect opinion of God. Many of us don't know God correctly, and we need that to be corrected. There's a book called The Book of Diseases. It was written about 100 years ago, early 20th century. And The Book of Diseases, what they did is they went throughout the world to 138 primitive tribes, and they asked them questions about sickness. 135 out of 138 tribes, when they're asked, why do you get sick, answered, because God's mad at us. God is angry with us. That's why we get sick. Too many people believe that. They believe God's up there. He's angry at us. He's just waiting to pound us. Well, the Bible corrects us in that. The Bible tells us he is merciful. The Bible tells us he is long-suffering. The Bible tells us he loves us. You get correction on your information from the Bible. Absolutely. And we need that. We need that information. But sadly, too many of us stop with information. You read the Bible, you look at it like a fact book. You read the Bible like those websites look at famous actors. When was he born? What is he like? What does he do? And that's it. It's facts. It'll help you out in a brutal game of Bible trivia, but that's about it. There's no relation to it. Sadly, some of us stop there. I told and tell the Wednesday night crew, when I was at school at Oregon State University, I had this professor, and he was a very interesting man. I took a Bible class from him. It was just titled Jesus, Philosophy 390, Jesus. That was it. I thought, wow, free credit for learning about the Lord. How awesome. How wrong I was. This guy knew the Bible. He would quote chapters of the book of Matthew, quote sections, entire sermons of Jesus out of the book of John. He would go to the Old Testament and quote tons and tons of the Old Testament. But laced in between those quotations was a curse word spewn attempt to tear down a Christian view of Jesus Christ. He knew the Bible. He knew the facts of it. He could quote it, but it was information only. There was absolutely no relationship that man had with the Lord. It was facts. He knew about the Lord, but just like these guys in our story, he did not know the Lord. He knew about him, but he didn't know the Lord. And I don't want us to fall into that trap where this becomes a fact book, information only. Good at Bible trivia, but that's it. So, okay, Matt, I get it. There's information in there. How do we make this a relational book? How do we make this a devotional book as well? It's my opinion. There's one very practical way to do it. For a long time, I looked at my Bible reading and my prayer as a monologue. Read, 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 read. Pray, 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 pray. Goodbye. That was it. I monologue to the Lord in prayer, give him the information he needs. I open the Word. I get the information from God. Okay, good, 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 good. And that's it. Pray, 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 pray. Read, 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 read. A monologue. But that would be like me calling up my wife on the cell phone and saying, honey, I have some information for you. Listen up. Here's what you need to do. I need a couple notebooks and some pens. So when you go to the store, pick me up some notebooks and pens. And while you're there, pick me up a half gallon of ice cream. Most important. And then the car, it's running a little funny. So I need to take it to the shop. And I need you to come pick me up at the shop at 3:30 and take me up to the office and drop me off. There's a meeting I have with the guys. We'll be done about 5 o'clock. I need you to pick me up and then take me back to my car. Tonight, I would love to have hamburgers and french fries for dinner. And after that, a bowl of ice cream. And you told me that the garage is messy. It's true. So let's go out there after we're done with the dishes and clean up the garage. All right, your turn. Okay, my wife would say. Now let me share with you. All right, here's the information you need to know. I can't take you at 3:30. Krista has a hair appointment. Sorry about that. And I hope it's not expensive. You know, the bank account's a little low. And as far as dinner is concerned, I already set out tofu and broccoli. Sorry. And the ice cream, you can forget about it. And the garage, it's all your junk, so enjoy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hey, that's a great way to get information across. I got the information across to my wife. She got the information across to me. And we're done. Awesome. But that's terrible for a relationship. Great for information, terrible for a relation. So what's better? What's better, instead of looking at the Bible as a monologue, me monologuing to God in prayer, and him monologuing to me through the information contained in the Scripture, instead of doing that, you have a conversation. A conversation? A conversation. How do I do that? Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite Baptist commentators, said this. He said, if you don't talk to your Bible, it won't talk to you. If you don't talk to your Bible's not going to talk to you. What does he mean by that? He means this. Instead of looking at it as a monologue, read, 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 read. Pray, 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 pray. Read, pray. Separate. He says, combine them. When you are reading through the Scripture, you read a couple verses, and then you stop when something convicts you. Lord, I see here it says to take care of the least of these. Father, show me an opportunity to minister to the least of these. And as you read a little further, a couple more verses, a verse or two or three. Oh, Lord, that promise, that just blesses me. Thank you so much for holding on to me. Thank you so much that I'm in your hand and that no one can snatch me out. Thank you that I can have confidence in you, that no matter what this world throws at me, that you've got my back. Thank you, Lord. Read a little bit more. Oh, Lord, that blesses me so much. I pray for that neighbor of mine. He needs to know you better, Lord. I pray that this day you would reveal yourself to him. That's how you do it. Instead of a monologue, it becomes a conversation. And what I've found in my own personal walk with the Lord, I haven't done this for too many years. Relatively new for me, I found something very interesting happens. The Holy Spirit kicks in a whole new way. High gear of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible ties God's Word together with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, the Bible tells us, the author of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit moved men of old, Peter would say, to write what they wrote in God's Word. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 compares it this way. Paul would say this, you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's a combo. There's a blending of God's Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. And when you look at Scripture, not as a monologue, but as a conversation, what I found in my own life is, wow, I get revelation that I never realized was there. I see what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says around verse 10, that the Spirit begins to reveal things to me. I find what Jesus would say in John chapter 16, verse 13, that the Spirit will reveal to you all truth and bring these things to your remembrance. I begin to find, as I read through the Scriptures conversationally, that as 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, the Spirit looks to the deep things of the Lord and reveals them to us, that begins to happen. I find that instead of knowing about the Lord, I begin to know the Lord. I find instead of this looking purely as information, I find it becomes personal. I find instead of this just being academic, I find it becomes a walk. Lord, you're speaking to me out of your Scripture. Lord, you ministered to me out of that verse. Wow, thank you. It's wonderful. It's powerful. It's a great secret. Jesus would say, you guys don't know. You don't know him. Why? Because you look at the Bible, their Bible. You look at it academically. You look at it simply as information. You need to look at the Bible rather as a living, powerful book. Not information, but rather relational. It's huge. It changed my life personally. I found my journals filling up with insights. I found the Lord speaking to me in a way that I didn't have prior to that. You know him that way. Not knowing about him, not information, you begin to know him personally. Jesus would say, three things you need to know. First, I know him. You guys don't know him, but I do know him. What happened to the time? There is no way I'm going to finish this unless you guys want to be here till 11 o'clock. I was seeing if it was sunny outside. That really gets people itchy. I'm going to finish this up next week. I'm a third of the way through. So, this is what I want you guys to do this week, if you want to. I want you to think about the idea that I presented. That instead of having a monologue this week in your devotions, when you read the Bible, have a conversation. Have a conversation with God. Instead of looking at this as information, look at it as learning to know a person. That's what I would like to see you guys do. Whether it's in the morning, 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the morning, whether it's on your break, your lunch hour, out in your car, whether it's at night before you go to bed, look at it as a conversation. If you don't talk to your Bible, it won't talk to you. Have a pencil and paper there with you and jot down how the Lord begins to minister to you. You will find, I guarantee you, that you begin to know him, not know about him. It's not just information. It's not just knowing about him, it becomes a knowledge of him. You begin to know your Father. And Jesus would say, these are the three things you need to know. Number one, I know him. And that's the greatest need, the greatest desire of all of us, to know our Heavenly Father. Jesus would say, I know him. Why? Because Jesus had a conversation daily with his Father. Let us do the same thing. Have a conversation this week. Look at your Bible reading not as a monologue, but as a conversation. Try it. And come back next week and we'll finish up. Father, I do thank you for this time and this day. I thank you for this group here, and I pray that you would enable us and show us and lead us into a relationship with you. Not knowing about you, not having facts and figures on you, not knowing birth dates and not just being able to quote scripture, but Lord, that this Bible we hold will become quick and powerful, that it would be alive in our hands, that, Lord, we would look at it as a window to know you, not know about you. So I pray for us this week, as we have time to spend with you, as we read your word and pray through it as we read, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would begin to bring all things to remembrance. That, Lord, your spirit would teach us truth, as John 16 tells us. Make it alive, Lord. I pray that you would bless us and that we would be a congregation that's not just good at Bible trivia, but, Lord, we would be a congregation that knows the Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your Sunday.